We want to have a spiritual revival. And to have a spiritual revival, there has to be a pathway to spiritual restoration. And I think Christ lays it out for the church of Sardis. And I think there's opportunity for you and I as well to look at these five different steps in their pathway to spiritual restoration, because just perhaps some of these steps that you and I might need to take as well. Notice, first of all, the first step that we need to take is we ought to be watchful. Be watchful. In other words, we ought to wake up. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I simply mean this, that we ought to confront our sin, confront our apathy, and confront our indifference. We need to look at our life and say, okay, God, am I excited about serving you today as I was, you know, several weeks ago, several months ago, since last time we had revival? And we ought to take inventory of ourselves, and that's, I think, what all of us need to do. We need to take a good, hard look at ourselves and say, am I where Christ would desire for me to be? We need to refuse to say it's okay when it comes to sin in our life. We need to throw sin out of our life. Sin is not okay. Matter of fact, God hates sin. And he loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And so understanding this as well, it's not okay for you to harbor sin in your life, whether you think you have hidden in the small compartment of your heart. It's not okay for you to do that. I think in Ephesians 5 and verse number 13 through verse number 15, we find these words, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." So just think about that for just a moment. And then he goes on and says this, "For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise." So I think the first step to us becoming spiritually restored or spiritual restoration is we ought to be watchful, we ought to wake up and take a good, hard look at ourselves. See, our problem is simply this. We don't like to do that. You know why? Because we don't like what we see, amen, when we do that. We don't like because we know ourselves, amen. And let me just remind you that God knows you as well. You might fool everybody else, but listen, you're not a fooling God. Well, I think the first thing that Christ told the church at Sardis was that they needed to be watchful. But they noticed something else. He tells them to strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen the things that remain. You know what? We ought to fan the flame of dying embers. I can remember growing up that oftentimes we heated a large portion of our house with a fireplace. And you know well as I, fireplaces, they do a good job if you're about this far away from them. But when you're any farther than that, they don't do that good of a job. As a matter of fact, I can remember one time, I don't know if I told this before or not, that my brother, we just came in from outside, we were shoveling snow. Back then, they had those puff jackets, you know. They have them now, but they're only about this thin. Back in those days, they were like this thick, full of feathers and stuff, you know. My brother and I came in, and he was hogging all the heat up in front of the fireplace. He sat down on the hearth. He was sitting there, and he said, "Oh, this feels good." And I'm like, "Get out of the way. I want to sit down. I'm cold. I want to get warm, too." He said, "No, I'm enjoying this." Next thing you know, literally, white feathers started flying up. He was so close to it, and it was so hot, it melted his jacket. Now white feathers are flying all over the living room, and his coat literally melted. So fireplaces are really good with real clothes. But then when you go to bed, guess what? If you're not there to keep feeding the fire, it's going to go out. So what we'd have to do in the morning time, the first one up, no matter who it was, even my brother, my sister, myself, or my parents, we would go to the wood box and we'd take the screen out in front of the door and we would put the wood on. And then we had this little blower, you know, like a little bellows. We would do them. What were we doing? We were trying to fan the flames. Those coals were still burning, but just barely burning. And we would blow on it. Sometimes, you know, we would try to do it ourselves, but that bellows really did the job. And so I think we can get this understanding with that illustration is sometimes if we find ourselves as that fireplace was early in the morning, that you're still burning, but you're not burning very brightly, that we need to fan the flames of our dying embers. In other words, we could say this, we need to awaken the spiritual graces that God has placed in us. That's what revival is. It's like taking a big bellows and just and getting you fired back up again. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 says this, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for a living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" You see, that's the way the services ought to be this week as we gather together. We ought to come as a deer panting for the water brooks. We ought to come with our, literally, our tongues hanging out and say, "Preach to me, preacher. I need to hear it. I want you to fan these embers. I want to be burning red hot for Jesus Christ." But then thirdly, I think he tells the church at Sardis something else. He tells them to remember. As we think about them remembering, about you and I remembering, I think we need to remember what you knew about Christ and what you previously were taught about the doctrine of Christ. I think we ought to think back as those embers are being fanned, as we begin to burn brightly for Christ. We ought to think back and remember, number one, what Christ has done for us. Think back to those days before you received Christ as your Savior. Think back to the life that you lived before your salvation. And then say, "Thank God for that. Thank God that he saved me. Thank God that I'm born again. Thank God I'm blood-bought. Thank God that I'm still burning for Jesus Christ." I think we ought to think back at our salvation and think about as well at our progressive sanctification. I look at some of the things that I did after I first got saved. Not necessarily that they were wrong. Some people might have thought they were wrong. They might have not necessarily been sin or wrong, but thank God I no longer do that anymore, amen? And so I'm so thankful for that. We're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful for that progressive sanctification in our life. I'm thankful for this, that I know and have this understanding of one day that I'm going to spend an eternity with Christ up in heaven. Listen, so I think he charges the church at Sardis to remember, to think back. Think back on what you knew on these three areas. I'm reminded of Galatians 4 and 15 where it says, "Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that, if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and have given them to me." So understanding this, that, listen, remember what God has done for you. If nothing else, you thank him for your sanctification. You thank him for your salvation. You thank him when they're going to spend eternity in heaven. And that's just a very minimal starting point of our remembering. But then he tells them something else. He tells them to hold fast. Hold fast. I think churches are in trouble today because Christians are no longer holding fast. They're not holding fast to the scriptures. They're not holding fast to the sound doctrine. They're not holding fast to the things that they've been taught and letting these truths slip from their heart. We need to keep these truths that were once precious to us, still precious to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us this, to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. We find in the poetic books it tells us this, to remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Hold fast those things that you were cut your teeth on, living a separated life, living a holy life, reading your Bible, true Bible doctrine. Hold fast to those things. Christ told the church at Sardis, hold fast to those truths that you've been taught and don't let them slip out of your heart. And then lastly, he tells them this. He tells them to repent. He tells them to repent. He says, turn back to the place where you once were. Of course, reminded of 1 John 1 in verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, here's the truth. The spiritual decay in Sardis was so far advanced that the Lord said this in Revelation 3 in verse number 1. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, he that has seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Notice what he said. "I know thy works, thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead." This isn't just a simply apathetic church we're talking about. Jesus said they are a dead church. They once were alive, but now they are dead. a church that still had the appearance of life because they had the name in the past, but in reality, the church was dead. You see, if we're not careful, that's where Sharon Baptist could be in a couple years from now. We would say, "Thou art dead." But here's the encouraging truth. If there are instructions that will revive a dead church, surely they could bring revival to a Christian church that is somewhere between alive and dead. I think that's where we are, Sharon Baptist. We're not dead, but I don't think we're alive to where we need to be. We're somewhere in the middle. And if Christ can say that a church that is dead can come back, listen, how much the more can Sharon Baptist come back? How much the more can we individually come back from being between a dead and an alive church? How long do you desire for revival to come in your life? The path is given to the church in Sardis is still available to Sharon Baptist Church. And I say Sharon Baptist Church corporately, but individually, each individual here makes up Sharon Baptist Church. And so while we talk about corporately, we should really be speaking about individually as well. Well, the pathway's still available. We ought to be watchful. When was the last time that you confronted sin in your life? Honestly, when was the last time that you looked at your life and you confronted sin in your life? Do you see sin in your heart? Or are you like most independent fundamental Baptists? They see sin in other people's heart, and they point fingers at their heart, but not at their heart as well. And as the old preacher said, with one finger's pointing out like that, guess what? Three others are pointing back at you. Amen. So be watchful. And then secondly, strengthen the things that remain. What are you doing to fan the God-given flames of his love for you in his life? What are you doing to encourage God's love in your life? Are you speaking to him on a daily basis? Are you reading the Word of God where he speaks to you and you pray and you speak to him? Are you engaging in spiritual disciplines such as Bible study, perhaps fasting? How about this, soul winning or door hanging or door knocking? Are you doing all that with a heart really to know God? Strengthen the things that remain. And then thirdly, remember. I remember what God has done for you in the past. I mean, sometimes, you know, we get so spiritually high-minded, we forget where God has brought us from. And those spiritual victories in the early years of your life, those spiritual victories when God gave you that victory over that besetting sin in your life. Listen, we ought to hold fast. We ought to remember as well. And then fourthly, hold fast. Do you hold fast the truth that you've been given, or do you let it slip through? You know, Pastor James does an amazing job in teaching Sunday school for the adults each and every week. Do you let it slip through negligence? Do you let it slip through indifference because you could care less? Let me tell you, Pastor James, to give you a little prop. Joshua's been using that discipleship material that you, the doctrine class that you wrote for the upcoming thing, and he says it's fantastic. Since he started it, three new couples, he teaches the couples class, has come, started doing it. As a matter of fact, it's so good, the pastor was thinking about asking Joshua, when he's done with the youth, with that class, to come teach it to the whole church, amen. He says, you know, Pastor James, he's kind of up here. I got to bring it down to my farmers down here, he said. But listen, they enjoy it, he said. And he said, I wasn't so sure. I felt God was leading me, but I wasn't so sure how they're going to receive just doctrine teaching. But he said, they're eating it up, Dad, week in and week out. Praise the Lord for that. Hold fast to that doctrine. Have you been questioning or redefining truth that at one time changed your life for the better? You know, oftentimes as we get older, as a matter of fact, Diana and Mary were talking about you have to be careful that when you raise your children, they're young and you have big, strong standards, you know, in your life. You have standards for your children. But oftentimes, as your children get to be teenagers, all of a sudden, well, it's not quite as bad as we thought it was going to be. So we're going to let our children do this or do that or do that. And specifically about a reference of someone going to a prom, you know. And when their children were little, they taught against going to the prom and thought it wasn't a right thing to do. But now all of a sudden they're letting their children go to the prom. Well, we need to hold fast to those things. Then lastly, repent. When's the last time you really repented? You see, there's a difference between repentance and sorry. All of us are sorry. We're all sorry. Amen. Truthfully, we're all sorry. Amen. But really, sorry and repentance is two different things. Amen. And so when's the last time you repented? Really putting it behind you, asking for forgiveness, and doing your level-headed best to go on and serve God and not keep repeating that over and over again. Let me ask you this. When the Lord pricks your heart on Sunday mornings or Sunday night, do you do something about it? Or you just kind of just blow it off? Maybe the Lord speaks to your heart and you repent, but then Monday you find yourself doing the exact same thing all over again. Listen, there's a pathway to spiritual victory. There's a pathway to spiritual revival, and the Lord lays it out for us. Be watchful. Strengthen those things that come. Remember, hold fast, repent. I think one of the most encouraging truths about this letter from Christ to the church at Sardis is this: God's willingness to restore his people. Listen, think about that. Just think about it for a moment. He is willing to restore his people if his people are willing to come to him in repentance. God delights in reviving the spiritual life that he has put inside of us. But here's the key. You have to let him do it. And you have to be willing to do these things that he asks us to do. Repent, hold fast, remember, strengthen, and be watchful. Apply these truths to your life, and you'll show up here on Sunday, and you'll be aptly prepared for what God has for us as we think about having these five traits that Christ gave the church at Sardis in our own life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we spent in your word for these few moments this evening. And I pray.